Four preachers met for a friendly gathering, and during the conversation, one preacher said, "Our people come to us and pour out their hearts, confess certain sins and deeds. I think it would be good for us to do the same. Confession is good for the soul." So in due time, they all agreed. One confessed he liked to go to the movies and would sneak off when away from church. The second confessed to liking to smoking cigars, and the third one confessed to liking to playing cards. But when it came to the fourth one, he wouldn't confess. The other three pressed him, saying, "Come now, we confessed our sins. What is your secret or vice?" And finally, he answered them, "Mine is gossiping, and I can hardly wait to get out of here." In Romans 3:23, Paul writes, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All have sinned. Today we continue our march through Lent. Palm Sunday and the Holy Week to follow loom on the horizon, but we are not there yet. Our time of reflection and penitence is still at hand, and it is meet and right to turn our attention to our own sinfulness and our need for forgiveness. Through this account from John's Gospel, I would like to turn our attention to one sin in particular, one with which Jesus took special umbrage. Early in the morning, Jesus came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down, and he began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and making her stand before all of them, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery." Now, adultery in those days, as they go on to explain, was a capital offense. Of course, far more often for women than for men, but that is a whole sermon series on its own. And so the scribes and Pharisees, those consistent antagonists, come to test Jesus to see if he will stand on the side of the law. And in his own way, he does. Jesus never actually calls the law into question here. He simply puts the onus back on the scribes and Pharisees and invites them to be the first one to cast the stone, if they are without sin. Of course, in due time, all the stones fall to the ground and the people walk away, almost certainly mumbling under their breath to one another. Jesus turns to the woman and says, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on, do not sin again." The woman was guilty. She was caught in the act. Yet he, the only one who could have cast a stone, chose not to condemn her. For indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus' favorite names for the scribes and Pharisees was hypocrite. He used that word to condemn those religious elitists no less than 20 times in the Gospels. In fact, Jesus is the only one to use that word in all of the New Testament. And it was certainly no term of endearment. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites." It was Jesus' chief complaint and condemnation of his chief rivals, those who stood against him at every turn. They were hypocrites, holding others to standards they could not or would not even keep, willing to judge others while considering themselves somehow above the law. Of course, this sin did not end in first century Palestine. It is alive and well today, even in or perhaps especially in the church. Study after study aimed at discerning why the church has been in decline in the United States over the past few decades have revealed that many, if not most, outside of the church, and even some of those within, see it chiefly as a place filled with hypocrites. Oh, the irony. A place filled with judgmental people who, to further the irony, have been told by their Savior to judge not, lest ye be judged. A place, in short, filled with scribes and with Pharisees. And this, I believe, is one of the great sins of the church in America. A sin we must confess and seek to change. This does not mean we go soft on sin and declare all behavior and choices fair game. Please do not make this a zero-sum game. It is not. But it does mean we need to be more focused on self-examination than others' examination, more willing to recognize our own faults and sins and seek forgiveness for them more readily and more consistently. To seek true humility, which I believe is the best cure for hypocrisy. And part of that self-examination involves recognizing when we are acting more like the scribes and Pharisees than like those other sinners with whom Jesus chose to spend his valuable time. How many times do the Gospels record that Jesus was found hanging out with the sinners? And how many times do they say he sought out company with the scribes and the Pharisees? You see, you can tell a lot about somebody just by paying attention to who they spend their time with. In these last days, I have had as a Lenten traveling companion a book entitled Searching for Sundays. The book is the most recent, written by popular Christian blogger and columnist Rachel Held Evans. In the book, Held Evans writes about the church, with which she has had a rocky relationship over the years, growing up and eventually rejecting Southern evangelical Christianity, dabbling in many other traditions, and eventually settling as best as she can in an Episcopal church. The book is part memoir, part ecclesiological reflection. She has arranged the chapters of the book to coincide with the seven sacraments of the Catholic and Orthodox churches: baptism, confession, holy orders, communion, confirmation, anointing the sick, and marriage. I have found the chapters she writes in the section on confession to be especially apropos during this Lenten season. And in one chapter in particular, entitled simply Dust, she tackles the sin of hypocrisy, all through the lens of this memorable account from John's Gospel. I would like to share her words with you now, and I pray they help you reflect more critically as well. She writes, "We tend to look down our noses at these ancient people with their religious codes, regulating everything from the fibers in their clothing to the people they touched. But we have our own religious codes these days. We have our own scapegoats we cast from our communities and surround with Bible-wielding mobs. We have sins we delight in taking seriously, biblical instructions we interpret hyper-literally, issues we protect over-vigilantly because it helps us with our sorting system and it makes us feel righteous. Let's not forget that Jesus told the woman to go and sin no more, some like to say when they think the church is getting too soft on other people's sins. To this, I am always tempted to respond, so how's that working for you, that sinning no more thing? Because it's not working so well for me. I think it's safe to say we've missed the point when, of all the people in this account, we decide that we're the most like Jesus. I think it's safe to say we've missed the point when we use his words to condemn and this story as a stone. Billy Graham once said, "It is the Holy Spirit's job to convict, God's job to judge, and my job to love." In this season of penitence, of repentance, I challenge us all to repent of the sin of hypocrisy, as individuals and as a body, and even, if we dare, on behalf of the entire church. It starts, I believe, with true confession, an embrace of our sins, our shortcomings, and our failings, recognizing that none of us could cast that first stone either. And then a turning of the heart toward the one who said to the woman caught in adultery, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on do not sin again." To be sure, we have a great deal to confess in this Lenten season and far beyond. But this seems to me to be a pretty good place to start. Father, forgive our hypocrisy and help us to lead with love and not judgment. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.